Or some crazy drivers. That's good. What kind of things make you mad?
Politics.
Mike. Broken commitments. That's politics. Okay. We got to have at least a couple more.
Pit bulls running free.
Amen. You got an amen? That's pretty good. It's like the old joke. Guy saw this guy with a dog. He said, "Your dog bite?" He says, "No." He reached down, the dog bit his hand. And he said, "You told me your dog didn't bite." He says, "Not my dog." Disobedient children. Yeah, that can get to you.
There's always that moment when you do something and you realize it was silly or wrong.
Okay.
When I make a mess.
Can I tell them how you react when you make a mess?
No.
No. Okay. Probably would. Oh, that's a big one. And you can be in a fix, but don't lie to try to get out of it, because it just makes it more. Makes it more hard to. Yeah. Okay, who remembers what our homework assignment was? Proverbs, anger or angry, and where it pops up. So we're going to go through these quick. This is my list. It might not be the only verses, but this is my list. As surely as the rain blows in from the north, anger's called by cruel words. And the NIV says, as the north wind brings rain, so a sly tongue brings angry lips. That word is really hard in Hebrew. The one that they talk about, anger, the sly tongue. That word sly really doesn't do it. Doesn't quite get there. Okay, that's one. An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. Okay. This is the CEV. A person with a quick temper stirs up arguments and commits a lot of sins. So far, so good. You had these. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So the way you answer somebody can determine whether they get mad with you, whether they're glad with you. This is the CEV. A kind word soothes angry feelings, but a harsh word stirs them up. A gift given in secret soothes anger, And the bribe concealed in the cloak pacifies great wrath. This is the Amplified. A gift given in secret pacifies and turns away anger. And a bribe in the lap of a strong wrath. This is one of my favorite ones out of Proverbs. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? This is the Amplified again. Wrath is cruel, and anger is an overwhelming flood. But who is able to stand before jealousy? Anger is really tough to face. Y'all probably have faced it in your lifetime. It's just hard. Excuse me? I don't know. This is the English Standard Version. Scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath. This is a different one. The fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. You can get mad and not let people know you're angry. Or you can get mad and let everybody within a mile know that you're angry. Mm-hmm. Yes. This one's my favorite. For as churning the milk produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. I don't know why that gets me, but I can picture somebody coming like this and doing that. Okay, that I do not have your scripture. Would you like to read it? Ah, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Okay, and he that rules his spirit. Than one who takes a city. Okay, good. But is all anger bad? Somebody want to read?
On the east of Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer?
Okay. Good anger or bad anger?
Righteous anger.
It's righteous anger. This is Jesus. And the problem is the people are getting taken and some are being excluded from the temple. Can't make their sacrifices. Don't have the money to buy one. And so Jesus decides he's going to go in and clean that mess up. Now, I don't know how they felt, so this is just projection on my part. This is my opinion. I think the people there who were being crooked and downright, when Jesus got angry and started turning stuff over, I think they were really scared of him. Because this isn't nice, calm Jesus sitting around a pond with his disciples talking. This is a reaction. Okay. Okay, good anger or bad anger?
sin is always good.
Yes, anger without sin is the key. Motive underneath isn't something that they want to use to get their way, manipulate you, control you, intimidate you. This is an anger without sin. So you can be angry and not sin. Sue. Okay.
You also have times that other people get angry with you.
Yeah.
I had a neighbor got angry with me a while back, and I told Gloria, I said, you know, I can't let the dog get angry, because she and I always had a rule that we would not go to bed angry with each other. And so I told her, I said, you know, I have to go talk to that lady, because I can't let this go past sundown. And I'm glad.
Good.
We're somewhat friends now.
Well, if it's possible to have communication, that seems to take care of a lot of things, because people can't voice what is really bothering, if they will voice what's really bothering them, then you can deal with it, or you can tell them why, what the, you know, how, whatever. It's a process.
Yes, if they won't communicate, it's very, very difficult. You are right. Okay. There are two types of anger, basically. And the first is what I call, first one is, there's supposed to be a different word up there, and it bothers me. Anyway. How do you know whether your anger is good or bad? My suggestion is, do the Jonah test. Now, what's the Jonah test? We did this last week.
Do you have a reason?
Do you have a reason to be angry, Jonah? Remember the vine and the worm? And he's so angry that his vine died that he says, just kill me now. Over vine? There's something that we call, this is the CEV, that those who are in psychology will say there are two types of anger. One you can handle and it's a pretty good thing. That's called rational anger. The other's emotional anger, and we're going to sort of try to make it make sense to you. If I have rational anger, my mind's into this. Okay, what did I do? Did I say something wrong? Did I accidentally step on his toes? What did I do? And you can trace it back to the point that this is why he's angry. You just go back and see it. That's good because it helps you, give you a remedy of it. You can put your finger on it. This is what I did, and this is how I make it right. Now that's kind of easy to understand. This is what I did, and if you dump your garbage can over on your neighbor's property, you can put your finger on that one. Yeah, yeah. But rational anger, you can sit there and say, I know what it is. Or you can decide, I'm going to go find out what it is. But it's handled by you knowing that something needs to be done. You rationally respond. That is done by far, far, far under the emotional anger.
Hold on. I want to see how you handle the crazies now. That's what I always know.
Oh, the crazies?
When
somebody is angry, I sit and listen. I don't speak a word. I just let them vent. And once in a while, I'll give them something like, I understand. I understand where you're coming from.
And that irrational anger with someone who just get angry at you. You didn't say anything or do anything.
Yeah. It's been brought about by people who looked at somebody and said, I don't like you. Now, a person's pretty fixed in the way he looks. I always wanted to be 6 foot tall. I fell 4 inches short. So my basketball scholarship was out the window. But there are people who get angry and they have no idea what they're angry about. The reason this one gets really, really hard, I gave you scripture. This guy, he's just angry all the time in Proverbs. He's just angry all the time. He wakes up angry. He goes to bed angry. He's angry between those two events. He's just angry, waiting for somebody to slip. Is that your hand there, Bertha, saying you had something to say? You moved your finger. That'll get it in my class. Anger's cruel and fury, overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? The thing about emotional anger, I'm going to use Paul over here. None of this is true. I'm making it up on the spot. I can get angry at him, and he not even know what he did. He just, you know, sort of got out of bed and went at a restaurant, and I saw him at the restaurant, and something hit me wrong. The trouble with that is, there's no trigger. Now, what we mean by trigger is that thing you can put your finger on. There's no thing that you can put your finger on. And because there's no finger that you can put on what brought the anger, you don't know how to correct it. So this one can be built up, and it hurts like any other anger, but this one tends to last a lot longer than rational anger. Would somebody like to read? That's a long one. Okay. Wanda, you asked about somebody cutting you off. That happens a lot. But one thing this anger does, the emotional anger, it covers the feeling of what really went on. She gets somebody that cuts her off. And right away she's angry. She could yell out the window, she could honk her horn, she can do 101 different things. Okay.
That's not a joke, sorry.
Anger's not her problem. Fear is. That dude who pulled out in front of her almost killed her. And it scares her to death. So, you know, you shake your fist at him and yell at him and that kind of stuff. But you're not dealing with anger. You're dealing with fear. That's why this is so hard. Mike.
Some of this is chemical, right? I mean, you're in a situation like that, adrenaline and whatever else it brings along.
Fight or flight is what comes out.
It's full of it.
Yeah. But you can control it. But what we usually do with it isn't control it. Don, you hear what Paul did to me? Paul looked at me and took off his glasses. Man, I tell you. No. I'm self-conscious. I don't do well in front of crowds. So when he starts taking off his glasses, you don't look. You just walk away. Jim, you hear what Paul did to me? He looked at me and took off his glasses. And what's wrong with that? To get this thing settled, I have to go here. I've gone to everybody but him to talk about his problems. And what he did that made me so angry. If we kept it between A and B, you can resolve it. That's easy. Two people coming together. But when you get more people in that in to your triangulation, it gets very hard because now it has spread enough that you've got a whole group.
You might eventually solve your problem, but these people here are still upset with Paul because he took his
problem. Right. Right. And there's not anything that can cause him. This isn't going to get solved until I go to Paul. I made you the villain. I should have probably been the villain, but I made me the villain. Okay? And if you go around and start talking to other people about it, each person that you talk about with it, two things happen. The anger increases, and the ability to turn it off and get back to what is right becomes almost impossible. Excuse me?
Isn't that the same case that if you let it build even in your own head more and more and think about it more, that it becomes harder to deal with?
Yeah, but still, if we keep it between two, we're better off.
Oh, of course. That's what I said. If you can keep communication open, then you're fine.
Yeah. So what you want to do, whenever something comes between you and a brother, is go to that brother, Paul.
Happens is you're looking for someone to be on your side.
Mm-hmm.
And if they respond favorably, then both of you are mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't respond favorably, then you're mad at them and me.
Mm-hmm. Because they were supposed to do what I wanted them to.
Yes. So what happens is instead of anger being resolved, it's expanding.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. What's a bitter root? I'm not hearing real well tonight.
It can be hate.
It can be hate. When I would get coughs when I was younger, my grandmother had a recipe that would cure me in one day. She would take a Bermuda onion and slice it, put it on a plate, put molasses on top of the Bermuda onion, put a bowl over it, and let it sit overnight. The next morning, the first thing she did was scrape off that molasses that had been there all night curing with a spoon, and you got a spoonful of that stuff. Now, you might not have got better, but you never complained about being sick when she was around. People do that when they let things run. The consequences are bitter. Very good. Okay, so far so good with everybody. You're doing great. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. We even have, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's interesting when you're talking about the bitter thing. Excuse me. In Exodus 15, the Israelites are coming up on a body of water, and they're thirsty, and they're mad.
Mm-hmm.
The water is bitter. And they're angry because the water's bitter. They can't have it. But when you really think about the message there was, they made the water bitter with their anger.
Very good.
The Lord stepped in because Moses asked for relief and they took care of it. But lots of times the bitter water is there because we made it that way, because of our actions.
The largest group, remember, I got mad at Paul for taking off his glasses and looking at me. The largest group I ever had to bring two groups together was one was 14 and the other had 27. Now why should I take that on? Because the 14 was on this side, 27's on that side. And they're members of the same church. It is the Church of Christ, so put that in. And see, we're not forgiving them like Christ forgave. We're holding grudges and dividing. And that's not like being Jesus. What do you do about bitterness? I'll come over here. This is one way you can tell it's emotional anger. They complain it's not fair. What do you say to them? Life's not fair. And I usually even take it a little further. You ought to be glad that life's not fair. Because your faith rests upon something that was not fair. Mm-hmm. Still, life's not fair. My grandmother died at 86, which wasn't fair as far as I was concerned, because I love my grandma. She wasn't supposed to die at 86. 86 was a good long life. That was in the 80s. Yeah, it was in the 80s that she died. And she was busy till the last day. You had to know her to appreciate her. She would mow lawns twice a week, same lawn, twice a week to stay busy. Romans says it this way. You see, just at the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Second Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us through his, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Not that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Let me try that again. That God was reconciling the world to him in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation.
We tend to say to people, if you repent, I'll forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
God said to us, I'll forgive you first, then you can repent.
Mm-hmm. But do you see the unfairness? This is known as the substitutionary death of Christ. What it means is he lived a perfect life. And when you come to him, he gives you that perfect life and takes your sinful life with him. Everything planned for you. That's not fair. If I did the crime, I should do the time. I shouldn't give it to Christ. It's not fair. You're right. It's not fair he died for us. But love doesn't care too much about fairness. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, does everybody see where it's unfair? Your faith, you were a sinner, powerless to change it. So God sends Jesus and he changes it. That's not fair. But it's what God did. Bitterness is a choice. You don't have to stay bitter. You choose to stay bitter. You don't have to be angry for a long time. You choose to be angry for a long time. In Romans 12, you're not to repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. This one's hard. You give it to God and you don't know what he's going to do with it. So you've got to trust him to do the right thing. And that's what makes it hard. Sometimes we can't trust him. We want to do it and make sure it gets done right. Well, what the Bible says is this is part of your faith. This is part of the ministry of reconciliation. You let God decide what kind of wrath this guy should have, what kind of revenge should be. God won't make mistakes, and you might. Now, I haven't picked on you tonight. I said you weren't ready to make this mistake. What kind of consequences do you give your wife when she does something wrong?
Or beat
her. You beat her, okay. Is that enough to reconcile what happened? So now what are you going to do?
Get out of jail.
Get out of jail and come home. You don't know the whole story. She could have had a terrible day. She could have just been... You don't have the whole story. You didn't know what motivated her. You don't know when there's enough revenge that's happened that you can say, God does. Had a client in Pittsburgh. She got dropped after the wedding was set. She did his four tires in while he was at work. Had to bring four tires out to get his car back. But he didn't come back to her. So she keyed the car. It was a nice car. It was a Mercedes-Benz. It was a convertible, but it wasn't red, so it wasn't my car. Yeah. After she did that and he got it repainted, she put sugar in the gas tank, which does your engine in. And finally, I said, Cindy, when's it going to be enough? That you feel it's okay. She said something that was very telling. She said, it'll never be enough.
They made a movie about her, didn't they?
Probably did. Okay? Ephesians, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, I'm going to pick on Paul one more time. The reason you got to work this out is I can't go around spreading stuff about Paul. God told me, don't you do that. You just talk about what is building and uplifting. You don't put your brother down to other people. You don't let your mouth run. You do what benefits them. And then they will decide whether you can be with them or not. Some people decide they just don't want to be around anymore. Or you could work on it together to get rid of some things like bitterness that stands in your way of forgiveness. Okay. Somebody like to read this?
Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Okay. What hits you about that? Hopefully this hits you about that. It's the Shema. It's the one that Jesus says, if you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself, you don't have to worry. It's Leviticus 19:18. So you learn that this is supposed to be a loving relationship. And if it's not, I got some business to do. Okay. Any questions? I have a lot more slides, but this will hold you way over, and that will get all the teachers of the kids really upset with me. If you just trained the dog to go to the garden, it would help a whole lot. Yeah. It is hard, but as Christians, we need to be reconciling people. And sometimes you don't want to, but it's what God wants. William.
That's when you know you're truly growing in the Lord, when you see that transformation.
change where you would react this way when you was not didn't have a relationship with Christ, but once you had a relationship with Christ, you react another way. And you react a way of you know, controlling your anger, restoring the relationship, and truly loving one another. And don't let disagreement separate you.
Right. Very good. Okay, I'm done for tonight. See y'all next week as we're going to get into how to get rid of anger. Thank you for letting me be on your track.
The elders asked me to conduct it.